You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
What, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? I mean, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. I feel it, you feel it?
Faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup exploring over 60 years of the Doctor Who universe. Hold on tight. You never know where the crew of the TARDIS is going next.
Hey there, Whovians, and welcome to another episode of the Earth Station Who podcast. That's right, folks, we are back, and we've got a great one for you. We say that all the time, I know, but we're going back to the Tom Baker era. We're going back to the Doctor and Romana and K-9 in The Creature from the Pit. Ooh. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about this. I'm actually surprised we have not done this one yet, and because we've done a ton of Tom Baker, and it's now getting to the point where it's almost like picking and everything. The joy of not doing things in order, but, you know, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey, as we like to say. When on Earth Station Who have we ever not, you know, done things in order? So, you know, because that means we would have had to done Trial of a Time Lord a long time ago. And, you know, I think
we just can't do that.
So we've got a great crew to talk about this episode tonight. Of course, welcoming back Mr. Howdy himself, Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
Good to have you back, sir. You were missed at PensaCon.
I missed going. It looks like you guys had a lot of fun.
Oh, we did. And thanks to everyone who participated in our panel. And that actually was our last episode. So if you haven't heard the last one, it was, I think, episode 346, and it was a great time talking all about what folks want from Doctor Who. We met some amazing people, had a great, you know, conversation, and we had standing room only in that room, so it was pretty awesome. And the lady who participated in it with me, of course, Ms. Mary Ogle.
Hi, everybody. It is fantastic to be here.
And glad you survived the con and you know, didn't get con crud or anything.
I did not get con crud, amazingly enough.
I know a few folks who did, and, you know, but PensaCon, thumbs up once again, 2 years in a row. And
very fun. I can
honestly say we've been invited back already for year three.
Yep, nice. Totally worth it. Such a good con.
It is. It's slowly becoming one of my favorites. And it's the beach. Come on. You know, it's the ocean.
Even if you hit the con, go to the beach.
Exactly. You know, how bad could it be? You know, waking up every morning and hearing the waves, you know. So, and I don't mean Katrina and the waves. So, I know.
Walking on sunshine, baby.
Bingo. And joining us once again, it's been a little bit since the giggle. Let's welcome Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello.
It's good to have you back, my friend.
It's great to be back.
So, let's, you know, everyone we met at PensaCon, if you're new to the show, we're fairly laid back here, as, you know, you found out through our panel. And those who've been listening forever, thank you guys so much for continuing to listen and keeping us in the top 10 over on Good Pods. We got a new notification. We are in the top 10 of Doctor Who podcasts. Ooh. So, yay, yes. So,
wow, awesome.
It just shows that people are listening.
Well, how many Doctor Who podcasts are there nowadays? It used to be like hundreds.
10.
Don't take this away from us, Kirby.
There's 10 and we're number 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we're silly enough to keep going, you know. So it's funny because some of the podcasts I know Doctor Who wise, they just go on hiatus when there isn't new episodes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you don't build an audience that way. You don't build a following. And that's why us here, you know, and it's basically, you know, we're here to just, you know, enjoy. And there's so much Doctor Who stuff to enjoy out there. So we've got a lot of great things coming up, including, you know, a couple more Big Finish before the new series comes up. We got a couple, you know, classic series and some new series. So it's going to be a ton of fun to do. So we should have a blast. And of course, we definitely would love to hear from you guys. Feedback at EarthStation Who is the best way to do it. But also you can find us up on Instagram. You can find us up on YouTube. And of course, as always, Facebook. I'm also playing with a couple ideas of some of these other, you know, non-X ways of social media.
Yeah. Good. Non-evil ways.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't want to go to the evil empire. And I don't mean Disney, so it's okay. But so it's going to be a lot of fun. But we got a lot of news to hit, and we got some big stuff. We finally got a release date for Doctor Who.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay! Finally. So we have Doctor Who. It is now coming back. You ready for this, folks? The first episode of Doctor Who will be on the, depending where you live, it is going to be the 10th of May.
Or the 11th.
Or the 11th. You know, it depends where you're at. Because I think it's supposed to be released on iPlayer at midnight in the UK.
Correct.
And then it's later the day, it's going to be on BBC and it's going to be on Disney Plus and everywhere else.
It's going to be on Disney Plus at midnight also.
Eastern? No, or
I thought it was going to be on at 7 p.m.
No, it is. Yeah, 7. Midnight. In other words, it's not later. The way you worded that, it sounded like you said it was going to come out later on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, you know, that's the funny thing about it. The article was very vague about how they're doing it. So,
oh, no, they've confirmed it's coming out at midnight in the UK and coming out at 7 Eastern time.
So technically, we're getting it earlier than the folks in England.
Which is the same time.
Right, yeah.
Right. But they're getting it earlier on iPlayer.
Correct.
So
are they?
No, they're not.
No.
It's being released at the same time everywhere.
Yeah, iPlayer's midnight. So if iPlayer's midnight, then they're earlier than us.
We get it at what is midnight in the UK. So we're six hours ahead of England. And then it will be shown on BBC One.
Daylight Savings.
The 11th at like 8 o'clock at night or something.
Right.
And then it's on iPlayer after that?
No.
I'm confused.
iPlayer.
I am not the only one here. I swear.
So if iPlayer is getting it before it airs on BBC.
Correct.
Yes.
That's what I asked. That's what I meant.
Yes.
So I can imagine people in Britain shouldn't be happy about that either. Like it should air.
They're not.
You know. So I would imagine like it should be on BBC first, right? And then go to everything
right.
else.
Yes. Yes.
But they're not doing that.
Right.
Because a lot of British are kind of angry because they'd have to watch starting at midnight. And they'll be up for 2 hours.
I'm really surprised the BBC must be getting paid because I can't. That surprises me that they would allow that. So,
but then we are getting it at 7 o'clock, and we can watch a nice chunk of 2 hours.
We are actually getting it on May 10th when they're getting it on 11th.
Exactly. So exactly. So basically, when you wish upon a star is, you know, paying the bills, a lot of it. So. Maybe that's part of the reason.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same time everywhere. It's just that it's in prime time for us and at midnight for them.
At the crack of dawn.
Yeah. Well, not even dawn.
Not even. The witching hour. Yeah. That's it. The witching hour.
And the other thing is.
And it used to be us that got. You know, it used to be on in prime time in the UK, and then we would get it whenever.
We would get it like 2 p.m. or something.
Yeah. But now they've shifted it so that it's more in the U.S.'s favor than the U.K.'s favor.
Back in the day, we used to get it like a week after.
Well, we were lucky to get it at all. And back in the day.
Yeah.
When the new series came on,
it was months.
We didn't get it for like 6 months.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and then it was on Sci-Fi or Syfy, as we like to call it. And, you know, so it's pretty crazy what you're getting, and you know, compared to what it used to be, it's great. But I don't think they should be screwing the UK folks, you know, on this. I think they should be, the UK should, and I'm not, you know, Anglophile or anything, but I think, you know, they should be having Doctor Who at a prime time in the UK first, and then the rest of us, because that's the main audience.
Yeah, but when you, it's not, it, I mean, it's the same company, right? BBC owns the iPlayer. So they're just trying to get people to buy, you know, to subscribe to that. So they're, it's all money for them. Mm-hmm. And so they still work out, you know, Disney is the rest of the world, but as far as the BBC is concerned, you know, if they have an incentive for people to buy, you know, or subscribe to the iPlayer and pay for that, then, you know, they'll use that, I'm sure. I'm, you know, I don't know what the deal is with the other programs there, if they've already done this with other programs, so, or if Doctor Who's unusual in this case, but I would imagine it's just,
I think they have done it with some other programs.
Yeah, I you know, I imagine it's just, you know, for the BBC, it's just like, yeah, it's just a way to get more money from, sure, from people.
So. The unusual thing is the fact that since it's Disney Plus as well, that's confusing things and. It's different.
Well, that's why people are angry in the UK, yeah. Or not everyone, but some people in the UK are angry about it because they feel like it's Disney Plus's influence, it's the US market's influence. That is the reason why the BBC decided to do that.
Yeah, I doubt that's the case. I mean, you know, if BBC is saying we're going to show it, you can watch it on the iPlayer before it airs on regular BBC One, then
right.
The BBC's doing it, and they would have done that anyway.
So, you know, I have to say, like, for super fans like us, if we're in the UK, we would be watching it at midnight.
We wouldn't
wait anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is also, you know, this is going to be more for the haters to go, Doctor Who's ratings are, you know, tanking because they're being shown late, you know, in the UK, you know, it's like,
whatever. No, you can watch it anytime on iPlayer, right? It's just, yeah, no,
and you know, the ratings thing, I mean, I don't know how BBC is treating the iPlayer, but you know, if they're anything like the streaming services here in this country, you know, good luck figuring out who's watching what, because unless they want to tell you, you will never know.
No,
like, agreed. We have no idea how well Disney, Doctor Who's doing on Disney.
Disney is never going to tell us. They have released iPlayer stats, but yeah, Disney's never going to tell us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like, you know, I mean, we know it's less than something like Netflix or whatever, but we don't know. We won't know. So, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. I think it just seems like it should be the BBC first and foremost. And what we've been told so far from this arrangement is that it's always BBC first. You know, BBC shows the confidentials or the making of the special programming, whatever. We don't get that. BBC iPlayer has all this other stuff with Doctor Who. We don't get that. Like, we have been, you know, anybody who's complaining that we're getting to see the episode first, like, we don't get anything else. Like, Disney doesn't do anything else. They don't, they just air the episode and that's about it.
That happened for the 60th. We don't know what's going to happen when season one actually starts, though.
Well, I mean, so far.
Also, after 2 months, we run out of episodes, and hopefully they'll do more Hooniverse stuff.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think that, you know, but the way things are going with Disney right now, I don't trust them to do a lot, so.
Actually, that's a good question. When the spinoffs, because I'm sure that there are going to be spinoffs, come out, are they going to be on Disney Plus?
I think so. I don't know specifically what arrangements you know, Russell T has with them, but yeah, I would imagine if it's an actual spinoff show series, then yes. But a lot of this other content that he's doing so far has not been.
Right. Disney,
so.
Right. All the extra behind the scenes content has not been. Right.
Those and the Tales from the TARDIS.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Though they did release those on YouTube.
At least. Exactly. And they were fun.
Oh, yeah.
Did they release them officially?
I don't think
so. I thought they were just on.
Oh, you know
what? I don't think they released them.
You're right. They did. No, you're right. It wasn't official.
And people took them. They excised the episode parts out and put the new footage.
Yeah, because, you know, the Tales from TARDIS is fun, but they're intros and outros to, you know, the actual stories. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It remains to be seen how invested Disney still is going to be in Doctor Who. It's still a wait and see. The fact that we get it a little earlier, I mean, kind of, sort of, depending on where you are. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. Yeah, it's just one of those things, like, you know, and it depends on the time zone. I mean, if it's the same time everywhere on Disney Plus, does that mean that, you know, our good friend in Australia is seeing it before we do?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think they see it later.
They're in the future, so no.
They're in the future.
No, they have flying cars already in Australia. You know,
they are in the future, which means they'll see it after. No, wait.
But I will say for diehard fans. You know, fans are like myself, especially, who just do not like spoilers. It is a, you know, with the schedule being the way it is, there will be people who are watching it before we have access to it in the States. So the potential for spoilers is huge now. I mean, of course, it was before, but it's even bigger now.
Of course. No, it totally makes sense.
If something big does happen, you know,
It's so impossible to avoid that now, in a way.
No, exactly.
If you don't watch episodes right away, the second you go on the internet.
Yeah.
Now, it's definitely interesting. Going to be, we'll have to wait and see, folks. You know, we can't, you know, it's hurting our heads right now. It's math, it's timetables, it's time zones.
Timey-wimey.
Exactly. We don't have a whiteboard in here to be able to... You know, just mock it up and say, well, if they have it here and they have it here. So I think it's the Canadian plot, truthfully, but that's a whole different
story. It usually is.
Exactly.
And as far as spoilers go, I remember there was one year that we were at Con K that I found out something about the episode that was good that we were going to see later. It was
The one with the ice warriors.
Yeah, ice warriors. Yeah. And I asked you, did you want to know? And you said, yeah.
Of course I want to know.
I didn't say yes.
No, I didn't. Inquiring minds were wondering, so.
Well, the interesting thing about that was that they got the actress who did, what's the character's name? The green... One-eyed creature. What's her name?
Oh, Alpha Centauri.
Alpha Centauri, yeah. They got her to do it. That was what impressed me.
Wasn't she like something like 89 years
old? Yeah, something like that. It sounded exactly the same.
Yeah. Wow. So that was pretty awesome. Other Doctor Who news. Let's get away from this other topic.
Talk about something we can all agree on and be excited about.
Yeah, there's never any controversy about this guy.
Nope, not at all.
Definitely not. The great Moffat is coming back to Doctor Who. That's right. Stephen Moffat announced officially today that he is returning to write an episode of Doctor Who for season 14.
Is it going to be a rehash of the same story over and over?
Wow,
Kirby.
It didn't take long for Moffat bashing already.
That was 3 seconds.
Into the segment. You know. Actually, I'm looking forward to it because some of the episodes that Moffat wrote before he became showrunner were some of the best.
Absolutely. Yeah, some of the ones he wrote under RTD are the best.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Empty Child, Doctor Dances.
Yeah. Hell, River Song, Silence in the Library.
Yeah. Girl on the Fireplace.
Yeah, so I agree. He'll probably do fine because he's not going to be distracted by show running. He's not going to be distracted by Sherlock.
No, exactly. Or as he put it on social media today, there was begging, there was pleading, but finally Russell agreed to let me have another go, so long as I got out of his garden. Working with old friends and a brand new doctor, I couldn't be happier. So I'm looking forward to it. A lot of the rumor was going around originally was that he was going to be writing the Christmas episode this year.
Yeah.
So there hasn't been any confirmation if that was the case or if he's writing one for this season.
Yeah. They didn't really say.
Yeah. The only thing they said was that, Julian Robinson is directing episodes of the new seasons, and one of those that she's directing is Moffat's. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool because she's a pretty good director. And then she said that Stephen had given her some notes. She asked for some notes about, you know, a keyword to describe the overall tone. And the one word that he gave her was Hitchcock. And I'm like, okay, I'm really like triple sold now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because, you know, Moffat made you scared of everything.
Yes.
When he was like, mm-hmm. you know, you can't look at a statue now without don't blink. You know, you can't look at a gas mask with going, are you my mommy? You know, I won't even go into a library ever again, you know. You know, I don't want a second shadow there. Come on.
And we also know that Millie's in it too, because he said it was great to work with Shooty and Millie. So
that's awesome. So I'm excited for it. You know, I'm not one of those people who, you know, bash Chibnall. Oh, sorry, wrong person. 21 minutes and 57 seconds into the show.
Yes.
You know, but yes, you know, Moffat, I liked a lot of his era, but I think a lot of his era got messed up because of actors leaving the show and actors, you know, extending their stay and everything.
Yeah.
And he had a plot arc and stuff that he wanted. So
it was definitely slipping at the end there.
Yes,
but it was time.
Yeah,
it was time.
I love Moffat. I mean, I'm a total Moffat fangirl, as you guys know. So I cannot wait for this episode. I am so stoked.
Yeah, I'm right there with Mary. I'm a fangirl too.
Well, that's good. Nice.
Moffateer. I don't know. Moffat heads. Well, do we have a name? Is there a collective name for Moffat fans?
I don't know.
Moffat.
I realize everything, not everything, you know, he does is perfect, but I think the good, the really great outweighs the, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bad. Yeah.
My little Moffat bashing there was really in jest. I'm looking forward to it.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, someone already said, oh, Moffat's coming back. Does that mean we might get River Song in that episode? So it's like, oh, God, I just slammed my head when I heard that.
So. Susan, the Ronnie.
Yeah, exactly.
The Valyard.
Don't bring up that name. Do not bring up that name. So now that is pretty awesome news, though. So I think, you know, that's the big stuff that we've had. You know, we've got some, you know, other great stuff coming up. We did get an announcement from Big Finish that the Ninth Doctor is doing a episode with River Song.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. And so when that comes out, that will be on our schedule.
Yeah, we have to review that one.
Oh, God, yes. That's going to be an interesting pair up. That's for sure. So I'm looking forward to it.
I wonder if that means that she'll have teamed up with all of the incarnations up until, of course, you know, Judy. Well, no, because she hasn't 13 either. So 13 and 14 and 15, no. I guess. So
No. And if anyone in the UK can let me know how we can get hold of the new version of the Great British Baking Show, Jodie is actually one of the contestants because it's the episodes that they do only in the UK for, I think it's for charity for one of the cancer research and stuff.
Hmm.
So it's like a celebrity Great British Bake Off, and she's participating in it. So I would love to see that. I know people are going to go, VPN, dude, that's all you have to do. And so I'm already expecting that. But yeah, please let us know, because I definitely would like to find that out. So, all right. Any other Who news anyone wants to talk about or anything before we get started? Okay.
I think that's it.
That's it.
Pretty big news, actually.
Yeah. Actually, some very great news compared to what we've had over the last
month. Compared to the crickets.
Yeah, exactly. This is pretty amazing. So, and you know, as soon as we're done recording, something else big will be coming out.
Yeah,
you know?
It's almost guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. That's normal for us. So it should be a ton of fun, though. All right, kids, let's jump in then for the episode. We are going back to the year 1979, from the 27th of October till November 17th. So at that time, I was years old, and, you know, it was, I don't think I was in junior high yet, even, when this came out, so.
And this was the year before I first saw Doctor Who. But really? I don't think these made it to PBS until after I started watching.
Gotcha.
I think this was on PBS in 80 or 81.
It's really difficult for me to remember which episodes of Doctor Who I've seen back in those days. It was probably the, you know, late 70s, early 80s when I was watching on PBS in Boston. Out of the station in Boston. But I have vague memories of this one, particularly the scenes where the beginning where they're throwing people into the pit in the jungle. And that just really resonated with me. Seems like something that I'd seen early on. You think I'd remember some of the other imagery in this, but not so.
Certain things should have stood out.
Yeah. Well, you know, should we get it over with and address
the tentacle creature, in the room?
The creature from the pit. I mean,
might as well jump in with both feet on that one. Or
I have seen this one fairly. I have seen this one fairly recently, and I will say that. And actually, also, before we get to that, I do say that this is the only BBC audiobook that I have.
Really?
Yeah, I know that, you know, we talk about Big Finish all the time, but there's a huge number of BBC-produced BBC audio books, and a lot of them are adaptations of, I guess, the Target novels of Doctor Who episodes. And this is the only one that I've heard, and that's the only one I possess. I don't know if you guys have any more of those or not, but I know we've never really talked about him much on this podcast, but a few years ago when I did my Tom Baker run through and watched every single story that he did, I remember watching this one, and I like the story overall. It's really a fun episode, but man, it has got the worst
monster,
like the worst creature, monster effect, whatever you want to call it, that they've ever done.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, it's really difficult to get past that.
It is bad.
Oh, very much so.
As soon as it comes right around the corner, you're like, oh, geez.
Oh, no. Yeah. Which is funny because actually the sets and the costumes aren't bad in this one overall.
Exactly.
No,
so it's like they just completely ran out of money when they got to the monster, because it is it is, I mean, it is, it ranks up there with one of the absolute worst
and
effects of all time, if you can even call it an effect.
Yeah. I think it ranks up there really much with the bubble wrap from Ark in Space.
Actually, that's the one I was thinking of too, is the bubble wrap.
Yeah. Hey, you know, for the time, the bubble wrap was like something that people weren't used to. So you can at least give them that excuse. And part of me was kind of like, well, you know, maybe they didn't know, like, you know, but watching the behind the scenes, like the special on the DVD that I have, like they all knew quite well, like when they were, like they made it and then they were like, oh, this really doesn't look great. It really looks, you know, because it doesn't just look bad. I mean, that's one thing. I can take it if it looks bad, right? Or if it looks dopey or fake or whatever. But this looks just obscene. And there's no getting around it. And it's just kind of like, how did nobody not notice this? Like, how does this get by like everyone? And In the making of, they're like, oh, well, you know, by the time we realized what it looked like, it was too late. We couldn't afford, we couldn't have time to make another one. So we just had to make do. Everybody was laughing at it when we were on set. But I don't understand how they could have still gone through with it, because it just looks terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, from everything, it takes everything out of this story.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. How bad it is.
It's made worse when Tom starts interacting with it.
Oh God!
Oh, yeah.
And don't tell me Tom doesn't know exactly what he's doing.
He knew what he was doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's having the time of his life. Putting his mouth on it. He's kissing it. He's like, you know, blowing on it. And I'm just like,
going to make the tentacle larger.
I'm like, you know, and this is not directed by some hack or anything. This is Christopher Barry, who's got a long history. Like, he's directed every single Doctor up to this point, at some story or another. And he's really good. He's directed some of the best stories that have ever been in Doctor Who. And like I said, even this story is pretty solid as it is. But you throw that in and it's just like, guys, what? You guys totally really did drop the ball on this.
Yeah, they ruined it. They really kind of did.
The sets look great in this. The wolf weeds are fantastic.
Oh, the wolf weeds are awesome.
Wolf weeds are very cool.
I mean, that's the same mechanism the BB-8 uses, basically.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
There's a weight and a motor inside.
And it was a good way to, you know, basically depower K-9, which had a new voice this episode too, which was really interesting.
I did not like the voice.
No.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was bad also.
One thing I had not realized is, you know, David Brierley did K-9's voice for this entire season. And he did K-9's voice for the original recordings for Shada, which was at the end of the season. But then when they put Shada out with Tom Baker's extras on it, they got the regular voice back.
Oh, Leeson.
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't help.
No. It was funny. Judy walked in while I was watching it, and she was like, why is there a giant garbage bag that's glowing with a appendage on it?
Well, that is an accurate description.
No, it fit perfectly. And, you know, and I just told her Doctor Who 70s. And she was like, oh, okay. And she walked out of the room backing up slowly, you know.
I mean, shame on the writers for writing something that, I mean, they know when they're writing it, you know, like what the budget, what they're doing with the, you know, they don't have an unlimited budget. So, you know, shame on them for writing that. Although how it's written in the script is not really how it looks in the actual story that was filmed, and then shame on everybody in the tech group that created it. I mean, it is funny to listen to them talk about it.
Yeah.
Especially since it was a woman that was inside it, like doing all the puppetry of it and everything. Mm. And she's just like, I'm doing my thing and I just hear laughing out there. Like, everybody's just laughing. And I mean, it's just, yeah, it's too bad because I think it's a pretty fun story otherwise. As you guys said, the sets and the makeup and everything else, the costumes look great. Mm-hmm. The acting is pretty solid, I think, from most everybody. Like, I really liked some of the characters that are in there. And this is at the time when Douglas Adams is still story editor. So it's sprinkled with Douglas Adams type humor throughout. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he was directly responsible for it or not, it's there. And it's a lot of fun. Otherwise, it's not so bad. Like, you can kind of get past it after the first two episodes because they really diminish, like, they really don't play it up the way they did in the first episode. Like, in the first episode, when you first see it, you're like, oh God, no.
Well, it was kind of interesting for the season, too, because many folks know that Doctor Who, a lot of time, is the episodes are filmed out of order. And this was actually the first episode of the season to be filmed. And this was Lila's first episode as Romana to be filmed. And so it was interesting. She was wonderful in it. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't as wisecracking and as, you know, hey, I'm as smart as the doctor.
No, I was thinking her character was kind of, if you'll pardon the pun, green in this. Like, it seemed like she didn't really have a lot of, and I was like, that's weird because this is her third, I think it's her third story.
Yeah, she actually doesn't do a lot in it, really.
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, she's solid and fun, but.
Yeah, I actually felt like her, and I don't blame her for this because I knew it was her first one filmed, but she just seemed, you know, more tentative, still getting her head around the character, which is perfectly understandable.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it was the first one filmed that she did.
Yeah.
Because she played the princess, you know, the season before. And so.
But I don't know if they softened her up writing wise, because her character is kind of hard in this one too. I mean, she seems so, if you like, Time Lord privileged, if you will, in this, like, she seems like, she actually says things like, you know, how dare you, I'm a Time Lord. And, you know, she looks at a lot of the people doing the, like, around her, a lot of the other characters is just like beneath her.
Yeah, when she's interacting with the bandits, I was actually kind of cringing a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And actually, this is the only story of her seasons where she calls herself a Time Lord instead of a Time Lady.
That interesting.
After, but of course, since we were exposed to these in a different order, we had already heard that.
Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because it went with the Dalek story, and then it was City of Death, I think.
Yeah,
it was
City of Death is one of the, right before this. One of the greatest ones of all time.
One of the greatest, yes.
So, and then after this was Nightmare of Eden, I think. So
I'd have to
look. It wasn't a bad story.
But
what I like about the first episode is that we get to see the stuntman Terry Walsh fall into the pit three times. he's in that first scene, and then he's the engineer or whatever, Doran, and then he's in Tom Baker's costume in the last scene of the first episode.
Oh, when he jumps in.
Yes.
That's right. Because, you know, it's funny because you actually get to see him on screen. You get to see his face.
Yeah.
Because there's been times you could tell it's him. Especially when it was Pertwee fighting inside, you know, back in the era. And then, of course, Tom also. So it was fun to see. And like you said, Mike, the characters were good. The sets were gorgeous.
I really love Lady Adastra in this. I think she's just fun. She just chews up scenery.
It's like the Evil Queen vibe.
Yes. She's got that kind of makeup thing going. And she's just, you know, when she's killed... very early on, like she's killed in like episode, is it three or very early on in four?
Very beginning of episode.
Very early on in four.
Yeah, it's like, oh well, now what? You know, and then kind of seems like there's about, I don't know, 15. The rest just seem like it's kind of tacked on at that point.
Yeah. But,
because and just since she's not there, you really see like, oh well, this is, yeah, it's really weakened because she's not there. Although I really liked
Corella.
She was great too. I like the guy who was in the pit.
Organon.
Yeah, he was Organon. Fun too.
The astrologer.
The astrologer, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was really fun. Like, there was a lot of really fun characters. This is a really fun story.
And he was well known, by the way. Albert Baldon was well known before this because he played the title role of a children's show called Cat Weasel.
Hmm. I did not know that.
No, I did not.
I never even heard of that show.
No. But I loved it.
You can find pieces of it, individual episodes out on YouTube, of course.
Of course.
Of course. I loved it that, you know, the fourth doctor asked him, so why are you down here? I predicted that someone would come from space and rescue us. And then he said, where are you from? I'm from space.
Tom is absolutely delightful in this one.
Yeah,
he's firing on all cylinders. He knows the thing. He's having fun. He's just being Tom.
Yes.
Now, speaking of characters being killed on Doctor Who, the actress who played Corella, Eileen Way, was the very first person to die in Doctor Who in the caveman story.
Oh, she was the old mother.
The old mother,
Oh, wow. Oh, that's right.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even realize that you said that.
That's a cool piece of info.
And this part of trivia was brought to you by the 20 minutes.
Jeremy brings us the Doctor Who trivia. He wins this round.
So there you go, folks. Ding, ding, ding. See, there's a reason Kirby's on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And as we bring the
trivia all the time. So that's awesome. That it was good, and the chemistry between Romana and the doctor was really good in this because it was still very early on. So I liked it a lot.
There's a line of dialogue that caught my ear because I had to rewind and be like, what did I just hear? Because she was, you know, after they reunited,
what in the garbage bags? No.
She says, "I was worried about you," and he says, "Oh, you shouldn't have been worried. Time lords have 90 lives."
Yeah,
and she said, she goes, "How many have you gone through?" Then he's like, "About 130," and I'm like, "Yep, that's how loose the whole time lord lives thing was."
Yeah, I had not even noticed that the last time I watched, and then I was watching the other night. I went, what did he say?
Oh, exactly. And then he was like going, you know,
say 13. Said,
he says he's 750 years old or so.
Yeah, she
says that. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's elusive about all that. But then I think Romana says that she's over 700. Yeah. And I was like, wow, okay. So we have of course.
She's barely 100. Romana's barely 100. She's a young
girl. Right, but she says that he is over
750. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a youngin'. Yeah, I did think that was a bit dismissive when the doctor said, "No, she's not my commander, she's my companion." And I was like, the way you said that just makes her sound like not equal.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
But then again, it's Tom, so I wouldn't expect any less, really. But we're not getting we're going from, Sarah Jane, she's my best friend, to, she's my companion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the throwaway line about the number of doctors there is a little odd because we'd already established the 13 by then.
Yeah, well. That's how much they cared about that.
Yeah, they didn't care.
It probably was just something that, that Tom's did. Who knows, right?
That was established in Deadly Assassin, specifically because of the Master.
That he used up all his regenerations by that point.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
And he's still coming back. The rumors are that we're going to get the Master again.
Hmm.
Of course we're going to get the Master. You got... the tooth with the
of course.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
The
person floating off the edge of the Avengers Tower, right?
Right, right.
Exactly. So So yeah, overall, I thought this was a great episode. The four episodes flew by really quickly.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable. I mean, yes, the monster is terrible, but the story itself is actually pretty solid and enjoyable. Yeah. Yeah, most of the acting is good. The bandits are just kind of there. I'm not sure
the bandits were idiots.
How much they contributed. I mean, they really were just sort of comic relief, and which is fine.
They were there to get shot by K-9. It was awesome.
Yeah.
They were entertaining. They weren't, fun.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
What do you think of the ending? The sort of, let's wrap this star.
that was completely unbelievable and dumb. I kept wondering, where are you sending the star to? Is the next planet over? are the next star system over going to get destroyed?
Well, I would imagine it's still going to be encased where it goes, right?
Yeah, that seems.
But still, unlikely. I mean, if it's heading right at another solar system, then that's probably going to mean trouble for them.
But because Doctor Who. Who cares, basically.
We're throwing real science right out the window.
Neil deGrasse Tyson was probably yanking his hair out as a kid watching this, No, that's not how it happens.
It was kind of up there with Superman flying backwards around the world. With that.
And right about the same time period.
But it was fine.
Yes, because the creature arriving in an egg, that the egg was alive, that makes so much more sense than what we saw before at the end. Like the whole thing is really fantastic. And that's I like hard science in Doctor Who, but I also like it when it just goes off the rails bonkers like this. That's one of the things that I think Douglas Adams really excels about. Like, he just brings like these bonkers stuff and it just has fun with it rather than always having to establish to hard science rules. It is science fiction, yes, but it's also fantasy. And I like those elements.
Mm-hmm. No, totally makes sense.
I agree.
Oh yes. I did roll my eyes at the end. Not as much as I rolled my eyes at the beginning, like when we saw the creature.
That to me is minor compared to the monster.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get over that, then you can do it. You can take anything, really. But, it's a tough one.
No, totally understand that. All right, folks, let's go ahead and rate this one. 1 out of 5 TARDISes, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best. Kirby, you got to go first tonight.
4.5. I really enjoyed this one. I was grinning from ear to ear laughing, of course, with the monster itself. I was watching it with my oldest daughter a couple of nights ago, and we were just having a grand old time with it because it's a lot of fun. And it looks good. Tom Baker, of course, is my favorite doctor. He was my first doctor. I have to go with Lala as my favorite Romana. I know a lot of people like Mary Tam better, but she's my favorite Romana. K-9 is just great. And it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a little startling with watching it is how the Huntsman, the guy who controls the wolf weeds says nothing for 3 episodes. And then all he does is snap his lip. And then you see
at the end.
So that was a little odd.
I when she's first sort of at, and I think it's the 3rd episode or whatever, when she says when she calls him, my huntsman, I thought she said my husband, and I was like, "What?"
Wow!
I was like, "This is the kind of relationship they have here." But this is the dynamic that's going on in this planet. But no. Then I got it. Then I looked and I was like, "Oh, it's Huntsman." Okay, I got it. Yeah. I was just weird.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with 4.5. I enjoyed the heck out of watching it the other night.
Cool. That's awesome. All right, Mary.
I'm going to give it a 4. I mean, I'll take a point off because of the monsters is realized absolutely terribly. But the story is really fun. Yeah. The acting's really fun. It didn't drag for me at all. I had a great time watching it. Just like Kirby said, my sister and I were watching it. We were having a great time. And it's totally enjoyable. And so, I mean, okay, it's a bad monster. That's not like the first time we've seen a bad monster in Doctor Who. So, and it, you know, it's really fun seeing Tom Baker, you know, interact with Lala Ward. And just, I mean, even K-9 is fun in this. So, yeah, and the wolf weeds, the only bad part was the wolf weeds get eaten in the end by the creature. And I like the wolf weeds.
That happened.
Yeah, the creatures lay on top of her, of the bad guy, and the wolf weeds at the same time.
Yes.
And then it opens, it comes back up. Thank you. I haven't eaten in 15 years. It's
So, yeah, I mean, and it's definitely, you can see Douglas Adams' influence in it, and that's fun too, seeing all the little humor touches.
Oh, very much.
So yeah, it's just tons of fun, so I think it's worth a 4.
Okay, Mikey.
It's really tough to separate, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say, like, for story, character, fun, elements of fun, I agree that it's a 4. It's one that's fun to watch, especially if you watch with other people, because it's, you know, you can MST3K it. It's really fun, you know, that kind of thing, especially with the monster. But from a production design, as far as Doctor Who Monsters goes, Aratu gets a like half a star for me. Like, just that's it. Like, that's just because it's terrible. And I just don't understand. I mean, you know, mistakes get made. I get it. But man, this is like the worst. And if you're going to show a new story of Doctor Who or a classic episode to a new Who fan or something like that, don't pick this one, because that will just shatter everything. That they won't be able to take it seriously. They'll think all of them are like this. I mean, we've had other episodes where, you know, the special effects haven't gone well. I can usually get past it. I'm usually the guy that has more liberal about it than anybody, that I can get past stuff like that. But in this one, I just think it was just dumb.
Nope. Totally understand.
No, Arado, right. Half a star.
No, I think that's totally fair.
And that's being generous.
Totally understand that one. All right. I'm going to give my rating. I'm going to do 3.5. And the only reason it got knocked down from a 4 is the walking, you know, glide bag in it. And it took me out of the story at times. And I really, really wanted to like it more. And I remember reading the book. I remember watching this as a kid on PBS and going, you know, oh, wow, that's really bad. And now, you know, and friends of mine used to tease me religiously about watching Doctor Who. Oh, you could see the zippers on the costume, or you could see the strings on the spaceships. And then watching this one made me have, you know, PTSD, you know. Now I remember why, you know, it was so bad back then. But, you know, it was fun though. It was a good story. And I enjoyed Tom, and I enjoyed even K-9. I didn't mind. You know, he was blowing people away left and right. It was pretty awesome. Yeah,
it was pretty fun.
You know, and this is, you know, Lila was carrying him around for half the storyline. But, you know, I need to conserve power. You know, it's like, so. But yeah, it's worth watching, folks, you know, but, you know, don't take it seriously, you know, and, you know, just, you know, have a couple drinks in you if you can, if possible.
Yeah.
That might help also. But, you know, we definitely would love to hear from you guys. feedback@earthstationwho.com. That's the best way to, you know, let us know what you guys think, or leave a review up on Facebook, or, you know, wherever you listen to this. 5 stars is always the best way to do it. Up on Spotify, up on Apple, you know, or now that we're up on you know, YouTube, thumbs up. You know, that's the way, the best way to do it for us and everything. That's how we know if you like it or not. So, you know, I'm glad you guys enjoyed. Kirby, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me back.
You want to promote your podcast that you appear on?
I'm one of the co-hosts for on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. We are currently continuing with the journey through every single episode of Doctor Who.
In order, too.
In order. And
that's right.
What did we just do? I'm trying to remember.
Was that memorable?
I'll let you know in a second when I bring up the database. I should have remembered. We're about to do... I'll tell you in a minute.
My favorite episode. Let's thank our regulars while Kirby's looking for that. Miss Mary, thank you so much, as always.
Oh, thank you. I had a ton of fun with this one. It was a really cool, fun thing to watch.
Any artwork or anything you got going on you want to promote?
You can find my artwork at maryogle.com or on Etsy at eVision Arts.
I hope we draw some kind of business to you with all the, you know, all this and everything. So, you know, hopefully, maybe, possibly.
You never know.
But, exactly. And Mr. Mike, we've made it through another one.
We did. And as always, it's my pleasure, especially when we're, you know, talking about the Fourth Doctor. Like Kirby said, Tom was my first, and I always enjoy watching him as the Doctor. So,
awesome, awesome. Anything you got going on at the DragonCon report?
Well, we've recorded two episodes so far. We are going to be recording our third episode, our March episode, within the week. So, check that out. If you don't catch us live, cause we always record it and live stream when we do so, you can always watch us on YouTube or, listen to us, via the ESO network.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
I have an answer now.
We're doing, let's hear your answer, Kirby. What is the newest episode?
We are going to be doing Dark Water and Death in Heaven. Oh, also known nice. As, oh, okay. Also known as Cyber Brig.
Oh, God. Everyone's favorite.
I don't know. That might, he might be challenging.
He quit Doctor Who. What do
he
you
might,
mean?
He might challenge Uratu for the worst, like, character in Doctor Who ever.
You know, I'm going with Cyber Brig as the worst one.
I think I'm with Mary on that one.
Wow. I really wow.
Yeah, because even this wouldn't have not made me quit Doctor Who. Cyber Brig came very damn close.
Yeah, I was not happy.
No.
I mean, Dark Water, I didn't mind. It was Death in Heaven, which was the second one was worse than the first one.
So that pairing. I miss you.
Exactly. That was the best part about that story. What do you mean? So, well, very awesome, folks. Thank you guys as always. If anyone wants to find me, of course, I'm doing the announcing for the Tales from Hollywood Land podcast. And we just put out our newest episode last week, and that was John Wayne and talking to his biographer on it. It was a ton of fun to do, and this next episode we're going to be coming out right after this one comes out, because this comes out on Fridays, and the next episode of Tales from Hollywood Land is always released on Mondays, is going to be the Rat Pack in Las Vegas.
Oh, awesome. That'll be a fun one.
So that's going to be a 10 fun episode to do. So check us out. We're part of the ESO network also on that one. So, and we got some other podcast news coming up soon, but I can't talk about it yet. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. So definitely check us out. And you know what? Thank you as always for listening. If you want to join our Patreon, it's at patreon.com/ESO network. Help support us. We would really appreciate it. Or if you want, you know, just go to our TeePublic store or check us out up on Facebook, on Instagram, and, you know, wherever other fine podcasts are found. We are there too. So until next time. My name is Mike Faber on behalf of myself, of course, Kirby, Mary, and Mr. Howdy himself, Mike Gordon. Thank you so much as always. We'll see you next time. Peace, and we are done.
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from throughout space and time. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individuals and are to be used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our show wherever fine podcasts are found, or check out our website, earthstationwho.com. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook or Instagram, and if you enjoyed the show, please write to us at feedback@earthstationwho.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you on the next journey of Earth Station Who.
Tune in to the Dragon Con Report podcast, your ultimate destination for all things Dragon Con.
Join us each month as we dive into our home away from home and cover the world of con fandom, cosplay, gaming, and more.
With guests each show, behind-the-scenes insights, tips and tricks, and the latest updates on this year's convention.
Whether you're a seasoned attendee or a first-time explorer,
the Dragon Con Report is your passport to the ultimate geek experience.
Join us and let your inner dragon roar.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.